And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Whatever time of day it is that you are listening, folks, thank you very, very much for listening. Today is the 20th of February, year of our Lord, 2023. Welcome to yet another edition of the Bun and Cardigan Show presented by The Athletic. I'm, of course, joined by the on-again, off-again man who wears the cardigan, James Edwards III of The Athletic. James, after an illustrious week off, we said we were going to take this week off. We actually ended up taking last week off, some scheduling conflicts. We are back, and as promised, we are going to be doing our pre-draft stuff today. Some light pre-draft stuff. We're not going to be going into it all the way, but the top five or six guys that Pistons fans need to be the most concerned about, we will be jumping into that today. However, before we get to that, there is a new shiny toy that the Pistons have. Fans finally got their hands on them. James, it finally happened. The trade went through sometime last week. James Wiseman has officially played a game with the Detroit Pistons against the Boston Celtics. And I got to tell you something. I'm excited.
All right, so there's a couple things I wanted to do on this part. Where do I want to start? I want to tell people what my time was like from the moment the trade was announced on trade deadline day to the day that to Super Bowl night, because it's one of the wildest experiences in my professional career. But first I want to know from you, now that you've had time to kind of step back and properly analyze this, how are you feeling about the trade on Saturday, February 18th?
I feel great, honestly. The most fun experiment that I've done with myself is I've gone back when I was writing for Piston Powered. It was during the 2020 draft. So I wanted to see what were my pre-draft Wiseman takes and, like, would they hold up today with how I feel about them now and given, you know, everything that we know about them, which admittedly isn't that much. But what I learned at the time was I wrote an article that was like, here are the three players the Pistons need to avoid at all costs in the 2020 draft. It was Patrick Williams, number one, and James Wiseman, number two. Obi Toppin was in there as well. That one, I feel like that one, jury's still kind of out there. But the reasons that I said we should avoid James Wiseman were because he played three games at Memphis and we didn't know how he was going to do. Sounds a lot like why I didn't like Shaedon Sharpe, honestly. And the whole other part, like the actual basketball reasons that I didn't like him, was because I said that until he can do things outside of the paint, I'm not sure this experience is going to go very well. We saw in one game, he can score outside of the paint. He can grab a 15-foot rebound and then immediately just do a little turnaround onto the baseline, and it's going to rip the net. So, yeah, I guess just looking back on it, boy, he's grown in, like, the 10 minutes of NBA action that he's had, and I'm on board with it 100%.
I was telling somebody this the other day. I wanted to save my opinions, like, aside from doing my work and explaining to you guys why the trade happened and X, Y, and Z, the logistics of it, the reporting of it, like my thoughts on the trade, because everybody kind of insinuated that I like the trade and therefore am naturally called a homer and all these things. Listen, it comes down to this. Did the Pistons think that they maximized Sadiq Bey, and this is the player that he is and will continue to be, which is a good NBA player. And the upside Wiseman provides exceeds the potential that Sadiq can get to. That's the question they ask themselves. I obviously can see how they come to that conclusion. It makes sense to me. Like, if you think that Sadiq is what he is, and you feel like maybe you can find that guy every year in a draft or a free agency, why not take a shot on a guy who has star potential? To me, like, that's the most obvious kind of, like, why'd they do this. That's why. The most obvious. And then I was trying to tell somebody the other day, a buddy of mine was talking about how he was just sad that they let Sadiq go. I was like, no, I understand it. Like, obviously, personally, like, I got to know, I got along with Sadiq well. Like, that part stinks. But I think a lot of the fans' attachment and maybe the not understanding maybe of his trade value or trade market or maybe overinflating it comes down to the fact that over the last, what, this is, he's 2.5 years in, over 2.5 seasons, he's probably provided like the most exciting moments in Pistons basketball during a lot of losing. So you have the multiple game winners, you have the 50-point games, like the moments that are like, oh my gosh, I can't, I love this team, I can't wait till 2023. Like, a lot of that is because Sadiq like hit a game winner or scored 50 or hit 7 threes and things like that. So I think there was that natural attachment. And obviously, you know, and a lot of people know, like, sprinkled into all those great moments, obviously, were a lot of, like, 4-for-16 games and things like that. Like, just natural young guy, up and down, ebb and flow. But I think a lot of people did get attached to him because of the personality, how he carried himself. And then also, yeah, like I said, those big performances. So I thought Wiseman looked as good as you could look for not playing much basketball and only having one practice. He runs the floor very well. I thought he did some stuff defensively that caught my eye. Like when the Celtics kept trying to switch him onto a guard, and there was once or twice when he stopped Brogdon, and I think another one he stopped Tatum. Obviously struggled with some communication stuff. Didn't really look to pass. Was really kind of had some tunnel vision in that regard.
That's all right though.
Yeah, I mean, it was solid. I think, and I wrote this in my piece after the game, the most important thing for Wiseman off his first game is that he'll get to build on that. It's not a warrior situation where he plays and he might not play again for a month. He's going to get to build on every single performance and start to build not only confidence up, but just reps. And you see it. Clay's talked about it. Draymond's talking about it. I think they genuinely believe he's going to be a good NBA player. He just needs the reps.
Yeah, 100% agreed on all fronts. A few things on this. One, I think the way that you framed it when we did our like emergency broadcast in our last episode when the trade had like just happened, you said it essentially boils down to like just in terms of what Sadiq's value was. Do you think he was worth 5 seconds or do you think he was worth James Wiseman? Like if you had to pick one of those, which would you pick? And at the time I said James Wiseman and I said that I reserve the right to change my mind because I'm an emotional person and, you know, who knows how I'm going to feel in a week. I would look back on it and I would say the same thing and I would agree with myself. I would say, Nick, that's a really good take because ultimately if you're taking 5 seconds, you're doing it for one of two reasons. One, you're just going to package them for like a player that you hope to be as good as James Wiseman or for a pick that is like you're trading up. Right. Or Sadiq Bey. Right. Or you're going to use those draft picks and hope to find a player that is as good as James Wiseman or Sadiq Bey. So, yeah, ultimately, I think it's great. And like you said, it is really refreshing to see Steph and Draymond and Clay like all on board with this and rooting for him to succeed elsewhere.
And
on
a lot of Warriors fans, too. Like, obviously,
yeah.
The stories I've written, I've tagged the Golden State Warriors. So my story goes to the Warriors feed if you're following the Warriors. And, like, they are, like, very excited and wishing Wiseman the best. I haven't seen a bad comment from the Bay Area faithful about him. They understand the circumstances and the situation, but a lot of people seem to believe in him still.
You know, I would never sit here and, like, I don't think it's good to do a podcast about an individual game, but since, like, this is important and we're not going to be able to see him play until, like, by the next time we record, the Pistons will have played, I think, one time?
No.
One more game? Not even?
No, they'll play, like, 3.
How long is the All-Star break?
They play again. I leave for Orlando Tuesday. They play the Magic Thursday.
Okay, this whole All-Star break is really disorienting to me then. So never mind. By the time we have next week, we'll have more Wiseman stuff to talk about. But in that one individual game, what you usually see when guys get traded is exactly what he did when you're like, yeah, he wasn't really looking to pass. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Just find your shot. Just go out there and do stuff. I was just happy to see that, you know, he wasn't just thrown out there as a body to facilitate DHOs the way that he historically has been with Golden State, right? They're just like, go do stuff. Go be a disruptor. Go get some shots up. Go grab some boards. Be vicious. And yeah. He was. He did all those things and he checked all the boxes. So as the season goes on, you know, hopefully he can stay healthy and we'll see what we have. And I'm really excited for it. I think this is only a really fun opportunity for Pistons fans. And I think, you know, early on when the trade originally happened, I think a lot of the frustration was directed towards James Wiseman for this trade happening. Like, people were mad at him that he was now on our team. That has since passed. I think people are over that now. I think for the most part,
it really flipped quickly. Like, once people like got out of their instant reaction mode, like, it was really weird. Like, the first 24 hours, like, this is stupid, I can't believe they did this. And then like 2 days passed, they're like, oh, I kind of like this. And I'm like, you just gotta always flesh out your ideas. Don't just fly to Twitter or your instant reaction. Like, that's the downside of the social media.
Case in point, do you want to know what's great about how I handled it? Is on the show, I said a lot of things that I believe, but then as soon as we got off, I was like, can I be honest with you? I hate this. Like, I hate this a lot. But I didn't want to sit there on the pod and talk about how much I hated it, because that's not constructive for anybody. And I'm glad I chambered it. Is it?
Yeah, this is your, if you hate it, say it. This is what you do.
This isn't 97.1. I'm not a hater, right? Like, we're not just like spewing negative rhetoric just for the sake of spewing negative rhetoric. That's not what we do.
Well, I think the issue with that radio station is, like, not everybody at that radio station. Everybody there, for the most part, does a great job.
We all know who we're talking about here.
No. That gentleman is very good at radio. Like, he's phenomenal at broadcasting and radio. He does a great job. I don't agree with everything he says, but if you're talking about Mike Valeni, he does a great job on the microphone. Very good. I don't agree with everything. Like, what I'm going to say is, or where I think 97.1 sometimes falls into the trap, is for years they banged the table for the Pistons to rebuild, and now they're like, all right, just go sign Miles Bridges. I've had enough. We should trade for Kyrie now. I'm tired of what. Like, that's where it's like ridiculous.
Right.
But Valeni himself is very good at broadcasting. Like, I understand why he has such a big following.
I think he's really good at getting reactions out of people.
That's his job.
Which ultimately exactly what the job is trying to spark discussion and driving engagement, and that's something that he's really good at. Alrighty, James, do you think that puts a bow on the James?
Can I just share the days leading up to the? Can I just share the from trade deadline day to Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, of course. Go ahead.
Because it's obviously this whole situation with Wiseman and Gary Payton and the Warriors and Blazers has never really happened before. So to be in the thick of it, and also to be kind of like I'm involved, but like it has nothing to do with the teams I cover. Like this is a dispute between the Warriors. So Friday night, I think the Pistons played, and that's when Shams breaks the news on The Athletic that the trade is in jeopardy. So immediately, and I want to address this too. Immediately, I get a bunch of tweets like, oh, James must be worried. He must be scared. Sadiq might come back. I'm like, first of all, my job is to report. Report what I hear. Report what I'm told. Most importantly and first and foremost, try to bring clarity to you guys, every one of which who was sitting there, why did we trade Sadiq? Why did he only cost James Wiseman? My job is to tell you these things. So when I do it, and it's not, there's a reason that maybe catches people's eye or whatever. That's not me taking shots at him. That is me giving you background as to part of the reason as to why he was traded.
Context.
So context. So everybody's like, oh, James, James shaking in his boots. I'm like, I didn't say anything about him. Like, I'm doing my job. So seeing those tweets was just like super annoying. And then it's very annoying because, or not annoying, what was frustrating was the deadline finally passed. In journalism world, in NBA journalism world, that's when you can kind of like take a deep breath. No news, you're not really waiting on any hand and foot news. Trades are done. The most that's going to happen at this point is they signed a G League guy to a 10-day or something like that. But now, it's Friday. They announced the trade's in serious jeopardy because something like this has never happened. You're learning the logistics of how long the Warriors have to accept the trade, why they would accept the trade, why wouldn't they accept the trade, and the fact that if they don't want to pass as physical, the trade will not happen, and Wiseman's here in Detroit, and it's wild. So we're thinking, initially, and like, I'm not going to get into all the details because, again, it was between the Warriors and Blazers. The Pistons were just kind of bystanders of the situation. But certainly, so we're thinking Saturday we'll get an answer. I keep hearing from multiple sources, like, Saturday sounds like it could get the answer. Then it pushes back to Saturday night. And it's like the Warriors are going to – we learned that the Warriors have 72 hours to make a decision. The original deadline was, I think, 48 hours. So they were supposed to pick by 6 on Sunday, but all the teams involved pushed it back to 9. They ended up making it by 6 for the Super Bowl and all that stuff on Sunday. But just having to kind of like be on pins and needles after the deadline for the weekend during Super Bowl in Toronto, because at any second, like, I kept hearing it's going to go through. The Warriors just kind of want some confirmation from the league that if this goes through, that they'll look into the Blazers' handling of this situation. They wanted the Blazers to be reprimanded. They obviously, I think part of the reason they drew it out, and this is just me speculating, is to kind of continue to throw shade on the Blazers with different things that got out there. But at the end of the day, like, we're all waiting to, like, well, what if the Warriors change their mind? And, like, X, Y, and Z. So it's, like, all weekend we're just kind of waiting for the – like, we keep hearing it's going to go through. Or I keep hearing it's going to go through. Don't worry, it's going to go through. It's not official, but they have time and all that stuff. And then finally, right before the Super Bowl, it goes through. But it was just super weird. I don't know if that's interesting at all to anybody. Because I can't get into too much of the details, unfortunately. I'm sorry. I know when people hate when I tease stuff like that, but we all knew it was. I'll say this: we all, just reading the timeline, everyone's like, "Oh, they're not going to do this. Oh, they're going to do this. Oh, they're not going to." Like, this whole time, I knew the trade was going to go through. I'm not going to break that because, again, they had until a certain time to make a decision. They could change their mind. It leaking early or whatever could piss them off and think XYZ. So I was just staying out of it. But you just having to wait 48 hours and, like, wondering, well, what if the Warriors do change their mind? It was just a weird situation that I doubt I'll ever go through again and hadn't gone through before that.
Yeah, one of those things where there was so much information on it coming out all at once and, you know, over a few day span, that at a certain point I was just kind of like, I don't know what is actually happening and what's not. So I was literally just waiting for the official, hey, this is or is not happening, and everything else was just kind of didn't matter to me. So this impromptu story time with James actually reminded me of a question that I was going to ask you last week, but we took the week off. So thank you for reminding me, honestly. What for you as a journalist is a bigger relief, when the trade deadline passes or when the draft ends?
Trade deadline passes.
Really? Because the draft does it takes a toll on you. I've seen it happen twice now. 2 years in a row, I've seen what it does.
Yeah, but the thing with when the draft ends, the content still goes because everybody wants to read about the new player. Everybody wants to read how he fits in. When trade deadline's over, like, there's nothing new other than wins and losses that can happen for the next until June.
I guess when it's after the draft's over, it's like, okay, free agency's in a week.
Yeah. There's summer league, then camp's around the corner. The deadline, like, I can walk away from my phone for 3 months and not have to worry about, like, missing out on news.
Yeah.
Or anything 100%. Nothing major, more than likely. Like, there's a 90% chance nothing major.
Alrighty, James, we're going to jump into our pre-draft, but before we do that, let's get a word from this week's sponsor, Manscaped.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
James, I got to tell you something really quick. I was on the phone with my grandma.
And then I got to plug something when you're done. I forgot to do it at the top. So go ahead.
Okay. Oh, do you have a story? Oh, you do. Shoot. Sorry about that.
No, you go first.
Anyways, I was on the phone with my grandma, and because she semi-regularly listens to the show, and I had to give her a little note.
Hello, Mimi Hinkle. You call your grandma Mimi, don't you?
She's just grandma.
Oh, okay.
G-R-A-M-M-A, not grandma. Grandma.
I mean, that's almost people grandma. Say. You seem like a grandma nickname, though, guy. Like Mimi or Mama.
No, we don't really have any weird ones. Everybody's just like grandma, grandpa. All their traditional names. Anyways, I was saying to my grandma, hey, if you're ever listening to the show and you hear that I'm about to do a Manscaped ad, please skip through it. I do not want you listening to it because I love Manscaped. They're a great partner. I've been wanting to do an ad read for them for literally years because all my favorite YouTubers always did them. And I was like, man, that would be so funny to do them. But they ask you to say some pretty crazy stuff in the copy. So I just asked my grandma out of respect for both of us in our relationship, please don't listen to me do a Manscaped ad. And that was my answer to James. We were talking off the show about what is my problem. It's just that because I know my grandma's going to listen. But what did you have to plug? You got a story that just came out.
Yes. If you're listening to this on Monday or Tuesday, on Tuesday morning, I dropped a story about how Cade Cunningham is making up for lost time. Just basically everything he's been doing behind the scenes, everything he's been doing with his team that necessarily the fans can't see because he's not playing. Just a real look into how he's trying to continue to build himself as a leader, how he's involved in film sessions, how he's in people's ears. Just everything. Obviously, people look at it and think this is a lost season for Cade, but half of basketball is mental. And I talked to Rodney for it, Kojo, Killian, and Dwayne, and they've all said like his engagement, his involvement, asking questions in film sessions, even though he's not playing, it's all there. So if you've been wondering what Cade is up to, I know you guys all miss Cade and miss Cade content, so I wanted to drop something for you guys on him. So check that out on The Athletic. It's up. It'll be up Tuesday morning.
God, that's a great call by you because you're 100% right. We're starved for Cade content. And I got to tell you, that as you're listening to this in real time, the story's out and you can go check it out. As we're recording this,
well, maybe though, not because this is coming out on Monday.
Oh, shoot, you're right. But as we're recording this, the story is not out. So I hear this and like immediately want to read it after we're done. This is good by you because now you're getting me excited and I'm going to be the first one to scroll down to the bottom and hit the green thing. So super excited for that. But James, I'm equally excited for the NBA draft coming up here in June. Potential generational talents that we have. How many would you put generational talents? 1.5? I don't know how many there really are.
Potential generate? Yeah, 1.5.
1.5. But it could be a franchise-altering draft for a myriad of teams out there, and our beloved Detroit Pistons are one of them. So today, James, let's go down the list of some guys that Pistons fans should keep their eyes on. We are going to start with Victor Wembanyama, one of those guys that, you know, how much do we really need to say? At this point, ESPN is, like, broadcasting his games from time to time when he had the matchup against Scoot and the G League Ignite back in what, like October, maybe it was November. A lot of eyes on that game. So we've all been pretty aware of who Victor is and has been since he was like 14 years old. I'll give you the floor here because you can always speak a little bit more elegantly about, you know, what guys do. Because otherwise I'm just going to be like, yeah, he's really tall. He just does a lot of stuff. He does all the stuff that you want.
I mean,
a basketball
I'm not
player
be far
to
off. Like, there's some of these
what
guys.
What excites you about him? I'll ask you that. What
yeah,
excites you about
some of these guys
Victor?
We talk about, like, I'm more familiar with other than others. Obviously, I don't have a lot of time to watch a ton of college basketball, nor do I really want to during the NBA season. But
yeah,
I obviously keep track on the guys who are always in the Pistons range. So, yeah, I mean, Victor, I mean, it speaks for itself. That size, I've seen him in person. He's taller than you think. When the Pistons played the Bulls in Paris, he was the tallest guy in the gym by a lot, it felt like. A 7'3" or 7'4" big man who moves kind of like a small forward, can shoot the ball, can put the ball on the deck, has good wiggle, can block shots like a 5, can stay in front of guys. Like, if everything breaks right for him, you understand why everyone's calling him the best prospect since LeBron, although I think that slights Luka a little bit, who was Euro League MVP at 18, which is and I still can't believe he went 5th, but yeah, I mean, he's in that ilk. What I will say, and we'll hit on it now, This kind of reminds me of the Zion Ja draft. And let me preface it by this. Have I told the story about we were on the road and we were waiting for the Pistons to end shoot around or practice at a certain team's arena, and then the opposing team's GM walked into the media room and we chatted with him about John Zion?
I don't know if you told – you've either just told me individually or you've told it on the show. I think it might have just been me, but go ahead and tell it if you want to tell it.
Okay. So, and it'll get back to Wembanyama, but long story short, it was toward the end of the season. I won't say what city. I won't say what GM. And me, Rod, and Vince were talking about Ja versus Zion. And we were all kind of like talking. I think it was right after Zion like had the shoe explosion accident or like an injury or something. And we were all kind of like, it's been a couple injuries. Like, listen, if we were all running a team, I think we would pick Zion, because if it doesn't work out, or if it works out, we're golden. And if it doesn't, everybody else would have taken Zion.
Right.
There's nobody's going to yell at you. However, if I was the owner of a team and the team president and the GM, and I'm the one that controls if I fire myself or not, I think I would have taken Ja. And I was we were talking about that because there was obviously injury concern with Zion, the way fitness and all that stuff. And it's played out. Unfortunately, it's played out that way. When he plays, he's phenomenal. He hasn't played a lot. I would say most people right now would take Ja. If they were doing a redraft for the next 10 years, most people, I think, would take Ja. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I
think
so. It's tough. It's super divisive. I think you would get a 50-50
split. And if you would take Zion, it's based off the potential, which, or the him being available at some point in time. As we speak, he's injured again and just got re-injured. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
So the rival GM comes in and we ask him, and he said the same thing. He's like, most people like having a job, so they would take Zion. But I think there are some people, if you ask them, would take Ja because there are concerns. And now, James, why are you telling us this as it involves Wembanyama? I think I'm in the same boat where I, after seeing Victor in person, to my knowledge, just talking to draft people, I think he's had some injury weirdness in the past. Like, I don't think he has a clean bill of health. I don't know if that's made public or anything. I can't remember, but I've been told that by multiple people. And then seeing him in person, tall as shit, not quite Chet skinny, but not far off. I would do it because I want to have a job, and if it doesn't work out, everybody else would do it. Nobody would yell at me. It'd be unfortunate if it didn't work out. But man, I feel like there's a world where it looks a little bit like Zion or worse, and Scoot ends up just being consistently good or to great for 15 years. With that said, I would take Wemby unless I was owning the team, running the team, and coaching the team. I would take Scoot.
So you mentioned, and we'll get to the Scoot part of this in just a minute, but you mentioned seeing Victor Wembanyama in a gym full of NBA players and saying that he was the tallest guy in the room. Well, speaking of elephants in the room, do you mind if we address one really quick? Good. It's kind of just one of those things where, like, guys that big, guys who are built in the way that Victor Wembanyama is, in speaking historically with the NBA, like, aren't built to move around that much, right? And people always say, like, people always do the, if you're 7 foot tall guy and you can space the floor, you can hit threes, congratulations, you're the next Kevin Durant. That is what draft guys will label you, just because you're a 7 footer and you can shoot threes, right? But what we've always seen with them is they always get hurt. And people are always like, well, Kevin Durant doesn't really get hurt. That's why he's Kevin Durant, right? That's why he's right. A unicorn.
And
that's
to be
why
fair, he's been, the guy missed a whole season and a half with an Achilles later in his career.
Yeah, but that's 10 years into his career, 100%, though.
100%.
And, like, that's just a wear and tear thing. Hey, man, like, he was already also hurt in that moment. I don't think it was his Achilles that was the problem, but whatever injury he had, he like quote unquote wasn't supposed to be playing in that game. But that's neither here nor there because again, that's not the point. And this isn't. I feel like we're already coming off as like a ooh, are we drafting Victor? I don't. Maybe we shouldn't do this. Victor Wembanyama is awesome by all accounts. Like he's going to be great. He's going to block a ton of shots and he's going to do a lot of really cool things.
There is a chance he could be great. Yes.
And that's what you're drafting him on is the chance that he's great. But what you don't see people talk about nearly enough is just because he's this like 2K wet dream, like he's what you wish you could do in 2K, but he's real and he just does all that stuff in real life. Because of that, we just kind of push to the side all of the like, I don't know about this because of who he is. So that part of it is kind of weird.
And
to
the propaganda behind him.
Yeah, ESPN jumped on that real quick, didn't
they? Very weird, yeah. Very interesting. I feel
you just set him up that way.
It's a dangerous. I mean, listen. The reason we say LeBron is because he had unrealistic expectations set on him, and he met them and exceeded them. To expect that from somebody else, again, is kind of crazy. But that's the world we live in, and I hope the young man meets and exceeds those expectations because I obviously want to wish the best for everybody. But I mean, I have more. There's far more pros than cons, but there are cons. Yes. There are cons.
We'll put a bow on it with this. We mentioned this in the emergency broadcast. This is a team that is hoping that they can land Victor Wembanyama, but they just extended Marvin Bagley. You're going to have to extend Isaiah in the next like 12 months, right? Hoping you can get Victor. So what do you do? Who's the odd man out? Jalen Duren, but he's on a rookie contract, so who cares? It doesn't matter. You don't draft Victor Wembanyama because of the things you've done in the past. You draft Victor Wembanyama. I'm saying, who's the odd man out? What do you do after that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think we all kind of have an answer, but it's got to play
itself out. But how do you do it? But how do you get off that $12 million is the question.
It's where you got to get creative.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Scoot Henderson up next. I got to tell you, James, for a few weeks, I was starting to lean a little bit closer to the, are we sure?
I want to pat you on the back really quick before we get going and I forget. You've been on a little bit of a pre-draft run lately. Your guy was Quentin Grimes.
Yeah.
Solid NBA player.
Yeah.
Called it.
Yep. Cam Johnson also, got to throw him in there.
Cam Johnson.
You didn't really know me at the time. I get what you're
I remember.
Yeah.
Keegan
Murray.
Keegan, just solid. Ben Mann.
Evan Mobley.
I mean, I'm not giving you credit.
A horse could have drafted Evan Mobley. So
But you've been, I just want to pat you on the back. You've been on a run. You've been on a decent run. I'm trying to think like.
Some deeper ones.
I'm trying to think of ones like I was a Shake Milton guy. I think he was the same year they drafted Bruce. They only had a second round pick. Like I was high on Shake Milton, and Shake's been a fine NBA player.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think like obscure ones like that as of late. Who was the?
This is gonna drive me insane.
Yeah, go ahead and finish.
We'll do this.
I wanted to give you your flowers because I give you a lot of shit for your ridiculous takes, but you've had a good pre-draft run.
If there's nothing else, I swear to God, dude, people say I can't draft. I can judge vibes. I know how to do this. I know what players can play. Actually, I say that. I was the one who hated Shaden Sharp, and he's kind of awesome. Shaden Sharp is kind of
awesome.
Oh,
he's so much fun. Yeah.
Scoot Henderson. I was kind of trending towards this. Are we sure Brandon Miller isn't better than him? I'm going to tell you right now, don't ever let me say that again, because Scoot Henderson is just different. Like, there's this... I always watch him, like, he plays bigger than he is because he's only 6'2", like 185 pounds, but he looks like he's like 210. And we've seen with the Hamidou thing that I do not apparently have a great barometer for judging.
You do not.
Heights and weights. I can't eyeball that very well. But he just does a bunch of street ball shit on the court. Like, all the moves, the packages that he throws together are super tight. Great jumper. Really unafraid to just let it fly. Got that sort of Anthony Edwards mentality. I love watching Scoot Henderson play so much.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
I like Scoot a lot. Love his name. Listening to some of his interviews during this weekend, All-Star Weekend, because he participated in it. He seems like a really nice kid. He checks everything you want from a guard in terms of there's power, there's force. There's skill, there's raw talent. One thing I will say and this is going to be wild because this is like what I get on people on Twitter about. I didn't love how he didn't try to kill everybody in the Rising Stars game on Friday. And to be fair, Kenny Lofton Jr. was shooting like he was Kobe. What's my man? Mojave. I forget. Mojave. He shot a lot of shots. The ball movement for the G League squad was not moving well. However, I went into that game, like, the most excited thing I was for that game was, like, Scoot is going to try to show all these guys that I'm coming for your jobs. And I didn't get that. And again, it's a Rising Stars game. Who gives a shit?
Respectfully, is it the place to do that? You know,
are
you
going
to
be that guy? I
wasn't watching.
I wanted some, like, psych. Like, I wanted him to be a psycho and, like, take it that way, even though most people wouldn't. I wanted him to be a psycho and, like, shoot every shot and prove that, like, I'm on this stage against these guys that the NBA considers rising stars. All right, I'm about to give them all buckets.
I'm overreacting. It's airtight.
I'm overreacting. But I wanted to see that. That's literally the only reason I tuned in. I wanted to see, other than I tracking what Jaden was doing, like, that was a work perspective, but from a fan perspective, I was like, all right, is Scoot going to try to kill these guys? And he didn't.
Durin not being in there really bummed me out. But yeah, the Scoot thing.
He was swagged out on the sideline, though. Shout out to him.
I just didn't watch, man. I just didn't care. Like,
I wouldn't have watched if Ivy wasn't playing.
It makes sense. Right. You had to do it. It is quote unquote work for you. You might have to document that if something important happens. But on the Scoot thing, I wouldn't even view it as a consolation prize. I think that he would still fit in that sort of paradigm where, you know, I don't want to assign like an amount of wins that he adds to your team, because I've seen people try to do that with Victor. I had a guy in my Discord. I have the Motown Noah Discord through my YouTube subscribers. I had somebody trying to tell me that Victor adds 30 wins. He was dead ass serious. 30 wins to whoever drafts him.
Right away.
He said, because he
was
using
that stuff, man.
It's like, insane.
I understand that he's a prospect that is tantalizing and he's been hyped up beyond belief. But, like, at the end of the day, he's going to be a teenage kid who, with all due respect to League One and the French League, is probably the fifth best league in the world. And he's going to have to adjust to the NBA, physicality, the grind. Like, LeBron didn't make the playoffs his first year. Like, let's relax, people. Like, come on.
He did, to be fair, dominate the world stage, the under-18 and under-16 for France. He did do
pretty
well.
No, he did. I'm not. I agree.
Yeah, I don't know why I did that, because I know what you're saying.
Go against Joel Embiid during those.
Right. So on the Scoot thing, I think he's still – I don't think people should – oh, we got number two. Like, this is a dude you want on your team.
Yes.
With that being said
– same with number three.
Once again, kind of creates it – well, hold on. Kind of creates a little odd man out, because the thing is like, if you end up with – Scoot, and I'm not trying to do like a log jam, like, well, we got to talk about all this, right? But it's part of it, is it not? Is this not part of how
team? But don't say you're not trying to talk about it, because this is the second time we're talking about it. Just get your shit off. Want somebody out of here.
I don't want anybody out of
no,
here.
No, that's,
hold
all
on,
I hear. That's all I hear. You wanted Bagley out of here, now who do you want next? You wanted Bagley for 5 years on your basketball team. You get him, and now you want to kick him out the door as soon as you can. Now, which guard is going? You going to turn on the French Connection next?
It's crazy to me that you're just saying so many things that you don't believe, because you know I don't want Marvin. I don't not want Marvin on my team. But if Victor Wembanyama is on this team, then someone's got to go. Someone's got to go. And it's probably the guy that's going to be making $12 million, respectfully.
13.
So if you – even better, right? So if you go –
or it is 12. I can't remember. Go ahead.
12.1. If you go into the draft, then you're looking at Killian, Cade, Jaden Ivey, Scoot. Okay, well, that seems pretty easy. You're just like, okay, Killian, you're probably not going to get extended, right? Is that just the route that they take?
It's a possibility, yeah.
I'm not going to get any answers out of you. Third,
I mean,
best
I don't know.
Player.
I don't know the answer. You're asking me to predict. That is a possibility. Another possibility is, okay, which non-Cade guard here? Which non-Cade, non-Scoot guard has the most trade interest that could get us a legitimate wing? They take that route. I mean, there's routes, there's options.
Dude, that Caris LeVert sign and trade notification is going to hit so different.
I can't believe I said elite wing and you went to Caris LeVert. Come on.
This third player we're going to talk about, do you want to go SEC or Big Ten?
SEC, because this is the guy that we'll talk about. But can we take a break first?
Oh, you're right. Let's take another break and get a word from a sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
James, third player we're going to be talking about here, Brandon Miller from Alabama. Let me rattle off a few takes about him that I really, really like.
I'm such a fan.
This is a podcast that plants flags pre-draft, okay? Yeah. This is what we do. And it's not, I don't think, fun. I think tentatively, Brandon Miller can be this podcast's guy. I think that's fair.
No, but that's, we gotta our, pick, that's our guy.
You can't have we a are, guy we're, in the, but
we're planting that's our, the flag now.
It can be our guy, but we need a... You know, 12 through like 19.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, that comes with as
we'll
we
get
go
there.
Through the process. Just, smart, yeah.
Cool. Just clarifying that. For right now, Brandon Miller is our guy. My favorite thing about him is he chases down his own shots. Like any shot that he's taking, which first of all, he was doing some voodoo shit against Michigan State
Why
earlier
is that
this
your
year.
Favorite thing about him?
Because it's an effort thing, right? It's
I
the grunts
agree,
of the NBA.
Like...
It's the gritty diving on the floor for loose balls and chasing down your own shots. That's what I love, because if you see him pulling up from 32 off the catch, the second it leaves his hand, he's going to take this quick little jab back towards the basket if it looks like it's even a fraction of an inch off the rim. And I love it. And sometimes he goes and he gets his own board and he puts it back up at the rim. It's he's so athletic. I love watching him play. And look, I don't know about this, but is he just what we thought Amani Bates was going to be?
I don't hate like, that. I don't hate that take, but I wouldn't say we thought. Yes, go ahead.
I was, right? Because You have this like hyper vertical, hyper athletic guy who can shoot from literally anywhere, scores a ton of points, does all the little things like chasing down his own shots, something that Amani Bates does not like to do.
Amani also can't get open in the MAC. So
you want to do a new segment called a quick five on Amani Bates where we just say, hey, Pistons fans, stop, we're not doing it.
We'll save that for a different pod, but yeah, we'll have an Amani that. Bates pod.
Cool. That's my Brandon Miller spiel really quick. What do you got?
Oh man, I mean, listen, the Pistons at this stage should not draft for fit. They are still in very much talent accumulation mode. You get who you think the best player is. However, if you wanted to take, if they're sitting there at two, maybe even, I still think that's a reach, but three for sure. And you're thinking about, like, not only does this guy fit exactly what we need, but he could be, there's a world where he's the dark horse, like, best player of this draft.
Ben Math.
It's Brandon Miller. Like,
yeah.
When's the last time the Pistons have had a 6'9 wing who, like, has the potential to be, everybody kind of compares Brandon Miller to Paul George, which I think
he
is a little unfair.
He does dribble like him.
Even though I think Paul has one of the most underrated handles in the league.
I knew you were going to say that, and I only agree. You're right. Yeah. Go ahead.
But, like, when's the last time the Pistons have had, like, a 6'9 wing with that type of two-way potential? Like, we're going back to, like, Tayshaun was a role player. Fantastic role player. Made an all-star. He didn't even make an all-star. He wasn't part of
it.
No, it was just those. It was the four.
It's Chauncey, Rip,
Ben and Rasheed.
You're right.
So maybe you're going back to, like, Grant Hill.
I was going to say him.
The last time they've had, like...
Stackhouse doesn't count.
Yeah, or Stackhouse. Like, well, Stackhouse counts.
Does he count? Okay, sure. Yeah.
like the Pistons, the league for a while now has been dominated by 6'9 wings, and the Pistons have just not had one who has elite potential yet. And I'm counting Cade as like a ball handler, not necessarily a wing. But Brandon Miller, like, to shoot, was he still shooting over 50% from three?
I don't check college stats. I know you
were very excited about this, so I thought you were.
I was just in a rabbit hole of like 2 hours watching like every single game that he's played this year.
Yeah, like I just think like his stroke is phenomenal. Pause. I think he has a nice handle. I wouldn't quite say Paul George now, but maybe early Paul George. There's still some stuff, like he needs a little space to get off his shot. Like as his handle improves, I think he'll be okay.
Kind of gets it off in a phone booth, does he not? If you hand it to him, he's got one of the prettiest jumpers in the entire class.
He does.
He gets it off quick.
I don't know about like if he has necessarily the wiggle yet, like dance with you, and like I need to see a little bit more. Good rebounder, like you said, he competes, gets after it on both ends, like you said, chases his own shots, competes on defense, length. Like, I'm just a big Brandon Miller fan. I think he even draws rates solidly, like, or draws fouls at a good rate.
I was like, is this a new advanced analytic that I don't know about? I was just going to go with it.
I was fighting off a nap all day, and this is the result of that. But it's two in the afternoon. Yeah, I'm on mini vacation. I don't get to take naps until after the trade deadline. But, yeah, I'm a big Brandon Miller fan. I don't know if I could be talking to him at 2, not in the middle of February right now, but like he's a March Madness runaway from maybe me doing like me.
I don't
maybe
know, man.
Me going there.
Do you really want to fall victim to the March Madness thing again? Because it's different when it's a guy who
Shout out to Darryl Summers.
I'm going with the Jalen Suggs route, right? The way that his stock kind of fluctuated. It was like Bitcoin for a little bit, the way that after he hit that shot against, who was it, UCLA in the Final Four and goes on to win the Natty, wins most outstanding player. I think he got that at least. And people are talking about is Jalen Suggs going over LaMelo Ball, and we kind of fall victim to this thing. I think the only difference is like Brandon Miller is already regarded as like he's probably going 3. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and Suggs was always in this.
I think there's some people that think Cam Whitmore.
Could be, right? Yeah. But the Brandon Miller thing, you said at the beginning, you were like, the Pistons aren't in a position where they should draft for fit. They just need a capital G guy. Bolded, italicized, underlined, if they can get it, right? But at least capital G. Not best fit. What if at 3 you can just get both, and
that's
that ends
saying.
Up being Brandon Miller, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's a chance where he's the most obvious fit, and he's also the best player 10 years from now.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I'm just adding to it, right? And especially since you just traded Sadiq, like it just feels like it makes complete sense. Another guy that I think makes complete sense. James gave me some credit earlier for my Keegan Murray propaganda a year ago.
Oh no, you're not going here, are you?
Why would I not? Are we gonna lie? Are we gonna pretend that this isn't a real thing? This isn't Isaiah Mobley, okay? This isn't just me liking a little brother
Chris
just because
he's
bigger. Chris Murray is like a legit, like 20 and I can't say what I was gonna say 20 and 13. I don't believe that. He's like a legit 19 and 8 guy in the NBA. Don't look at me like that because
that's
I swear to God,
that's kinda
he's
crazy.
Got the dude. If we know anything about Troy Weaver, and this can be applied to Brandon Miller as well, he loves a dude who's standing like 6'7", but has a 7'4 wingspan. It's all about wingspan with Troy Weaver. It has to be longer than you are standing, right? And Chris Murray, it stretches the length of the court. He does everything that Keegan does, if not a little bit better and a little bit quicker, a little bit more like fluidly, I will say. Probably the worst jumper in the... I said Brandon Miller might have the best. Chris Murray might have the worst jumper. It's terrible. But you know what it does, James? You know what his jumper does? It goes in, and it works.
Yeah, it does. I think we're way talking about... Like, we should not be talking about Chris Murray right now.
He's going top 7.
I don't know if I believe that to be true.
I'm not doing this to do my thing. I'm saying this because I legit think Chris Murray is like a contender for a dude that the Pistons might want to draft. I think he's that good.
I think there are a couple guys, and we can touch on them slightly, like the Thompson twins. Like I think Amen has like,
Amen's great
potential to be one of those guys as well. And then obviously his brother. How do you say his brother's name? Is it Alsar?
I've also not known that. Yeah,
I like Alsar a lot. I don't love Cam Whitmore as much as others, but like he's very explosive. He's a shot maker. He's kind of reminds me a little like Anthony Edwards Light in a way.
Like Kermit Willis.
Sure. Jarace Walker is another guy, the cat from Houston, the shooting like 40% from three. I just think he can score from all over the floor. I think he's a dog too. Like, I like him. Like, I think we're talking like 10 or 15. I'd be shocked if Chris Murray went top seven. We should make a bet.
I'm serious, dude. Like, this isn't even just because it depends on who you're reading, right? Because there's a lot of different mock drafts. I've seen sometimes he goes 14, and I've seen sometimes the highest I've seen him go is 5, right? I don't want to say it was CBS because it might not have been CBS, but I think that's who it was. I'd be really excited. Also, a dude playing Big Ten basketball, I would say that's probably one of the best basketball conferences in America. Maybe the third best. Second best. Second best basketball conference in North America. I'd agree with that.
Maybe the best.
I don't think it is anymore. I think you would just go ACC. I think you have to. No.
I think the Big Ten's deeper. But speaking of the Big Ten, probably should have did this up top. I didn't even think about this. Our shout out to sending our love and prayers to everybody in East Lansing, my alma mater. That was wild watching that unfold on Twitter. What was it? Saturday night, Sunday night, one of those nights,
something like that.
Rest in peace to the beautiful students who lost their lives. I know we just pivoted crazy, but
no, but you're right, we should have done this.
Us talking about the Big Ten made me think about that. Rest in peace to them and condolences to their families. Wishing great health and recovery to those who were injured, both physically and mentally. And yeah, it's like living in Detroit when the Oxford thing happened, and like my stepmom's from Oxford and my stepsister, like it still didn't hit super close to home because I've just like never been to Oxford in my life. But this one, this one's like Michigan State's like my backyard. Like I lived there. I lived in Lansing/East Lansing for 7 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So. That's tough. Hopefully Spartan Nation can get through this and not let it define them and continue to be a special and great community that it is.
So I had texted you because I knew this might sort of be affecting you in a certain way, and I, even though I didn't go there, people know I didn't go to any college, but I did live there for a year. Shout out to Rio Town. And at least, you know, especially when I was a kid, like going to East Lansing was like, that was like the coolest thing in the world to me, because like, you know, I don't know, it was always just like really special. And it's just one of those things, like when it was unfolding in real time, like I just wasn't able to really process the severity of it, because it's one of those things where it's like it happens to other people.
Yeah.
You know, and so when it does happen to, and again, it didn't directly affect me, but at least, you know, in a lot of ways it did, because I'm going to have some future in-laws of mine that currently live there, right? So they're sending us like real-time texts about what's going on and, hey, this like shelter in place. So that part of it was really scary. And to look back on it and have this feeling, and knowing how many other people, mainly around the country, but of course around the world, but specifically since this is an inherently American problem, so many people around the country who have felt this exact same way, if not worse.
Yeah.
So many people are unified in this feeling, and still nothing is done about it, and nothing changes, and it's just on to the next one, right? And
yep.
The Oxford shooting is insane, because it was like 2 weeks ago that I was talking about it with somebody. And because that was the first time that there was a shooting that affected, you know, me in any way. It was Michigan, and I have my childhood best friend and his wife. They live in Oxford, so it was very, you know, raw for them. And they were like, which one was the Oxford one?
Yeah.
And when you have to like specify, you know, which supermarket it was or which fucking school it was that this thing happened at, that doesn't feel great. And it hurts a lot.
Yeah.
So...
We could spend an hour on that, but, yeah, man, it's just, it's tough because you feel a connection to that place. You've walked those dorms, halls, sidewalks. It could have happened to you, your family. Like, it's just, it's unfortunate that it happened, of course, and that we're in a country where stuff like that easily happens and frequently happens. So, yeah. Go green, go white. And shout out to my dogs, Spartan dogs. Beat Michigan.
Shout out to Tom Izzo for his well, he had some very, very touching words on,
yeah,
on the subject. Did he not?
Yeah, that was very
That's
nice.
That's what we're talking about here.
That's fair.
I don't care about his recruiting trail right now.
it's not great. Michigan State, former Michigan State basketball players are not doing too hot right now.
It was like the day after that the Appling sentence happened.
Did you hear about Bryn?
What did Bryn Forbes do?
You didn't hear about the Bryn Forbes?
I'm not online, I shouldn't laugh. I don't know.
He beat up his porn star girlfriend.
Okay. All right. What's going on, man? What's going on?
I mean, I'm
that's
just
horrible.
Saying.
That's horrible. I mean,
this isn't, anyway.
What happened to this episode?
I don't know, but I think we should end it here.
Jesus.
Go green, go white. We love you.
Go
green. Sorry, you can go ahead. Go green.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you made it this...
Go white me.
I'm so sorry. Yes, go white. Yeah. I mess this up all the time. The first time I moved to Chicago, I was wearing I was wearing something Michigan State related, and a guy walked past me and said, go green, and I just, like, stared at him and walked by. About 5 minutes later, I realized I was supposed to say go white.
That's the funny thing.
It's like
the
Jeep thing.
That's how we know. That's how we know who went to Walmart and who went to Brody Hall.
But it's my whole life that but you're right, though. Ultimately, it's like that distinguishes who is. It's also just because I'm never consciously present.
Right.
Like, if you bump into me on the sidewalk and you try to have a conversation,
you had just left 7-Eleven. You're feeling good. It's you have a Tostitos, a Taquitos, and a cosmic brownie in your hand. You're locked and loaded.
Yeah, maybe a zebra cake. I'd throw a zebra cake in there.
Double stuffed oatmeal cream pie.
Facts. We've been on a zebra cake kick. I'm sorry, not zebra cake. I just said that. I meant honey bun. We've been on a honey bun kick recently.
I like honey buns. I had a honey bun phase in middle school, but it's been a while since I had one. But I like honey buns. Shout out to zebra cake, though.
A habit that I'm trying to break because it drives me insane.
Sure.
So whenever I pour something, let's say I go in the fridge, I want a glass of orange juice, okay? I will pour the glass of orange juice full and then take like 3 sips of it and then fill it back up and then put the orange juice in the fridge. So I'm just like wasting orange juice. Like I can't get enough of it. So like I have to take 3 sips of it till it's like down to like 75% full.
And
then I fill it back.
You don't want it to go away. You want to savor it.
Yeah, like I don't want to meet because I know if I just leave the glass, I'm just going to drink it all really fast. So I have to have a little appetizer orange juice, you know, for example.
Like
you get
that.
What I'm going for?
Yeah,
here?
I like that. I'm not mad at that. I do that with like candy. Like I'll eat like 5 before I want one and then I'll eat candy. Yeah.
You eat the whole thing.
The pre-zebra cake and then the actual zebra cake.
You know where we went for our Valentine's Day little dinner? We tried a new place I had been mentioning over the last month. That I've been watching. We've been watching a lot of Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah.
So we went to Gordon Ramsay Burger here in Chicago. Took us like an hour to get seated.
You didn't make reservations?
I'm not even going to go down that route I suggested it and was told that it doesn't make. And they said you go to the website and it's like, hey, walk-ins are encouraged, but it's also like a whatever. Probably the best hamburger I've ever had in my life. What was devastating to me is it was in the old Wahlburgers building. Apparently, while I was in Los Angeles, Wahlburgers in Chicago foreclosed and does not exist anymore. So I will never get to eat Wahlburgers again. The last time I had it was a year ago in Milwaukee.
There's one in Greektown. So you come back home.
Yeah, remember there was the one in Los Angeles in West Hollywood that we saw.
I stopped
to take a picture of it, and you were like, what the hell is going on? I was like, you don't understand.
That's right. I forgot about that. We walked like 8 miles. for no reason.
Alrighty, James. Yeah. You got an album? Give us a movie. Give the people a movie.
I haven't watched a movie in a while. I can give you an album, though.
When's the last time you went to the theater? What'd you see?
Superbad.
The last time you went to a movie theater was 2007?
I mean, I've been since then, but I know I can't tell you the last movie. Probably like one of the Batmans. I don't know. I don't like going to the movies. We've talked about this before. I am a comedy movie buff, and they don't make good comedies anymore. Like, I don't know what happened to the whole Seth Rogen and Jonah Hill and Judd Apatow run, but like it went away. Like they were cranking out classics multiple every year, and now it's like there's no comedies coming through, or they go straight to Netflix.
I have a Judd Apatow story.
Hit me.
Cool. Story time with Nick. I was at my apartment, and in Santa Monica, and I went to, I think I was going to the office or something. I don't remember where I was, but I was in a Lyft, and there was a really famous like bagel shop that was right by my apartment. Like that was just like where bagels happened.
I think I've heard the story, but tell it for people that are new listeners.
And it's at an intersection, right? So I'm sitting in the Lyft in the back seat, looking out the window, and we're right next to this bagel place, and Judd Apatow is just sitting there hammering some bagels. And I'm like looking at the driver, and he's like 5 feet away from me. Like all that's separating us is like the window that's up in the car.
And you recognize it was him right away? Like that's
immediately
Judd Apatow?
I'm like, that's Judd Apatow. I know that is. So I'm just like staring at him and looking back at the driver, like, do I say something? Do I do something? And the, of course, rule of thumb, especially when you're in Los Angeles, is like, if you see a famous person, either don't say anything to them or just make it really discreet and be like, hey, I really enjoy your work. And then like move on. But it's like Judd Apatow. So I'm like, what do I do? And I did nothing. And for like a week, I was really excited telling people like, yeah, I just saw Judd Apatow at Bagel Nosh. Like it was really cool. And then the Oscars slap happened. And Judd Apatow goes on this huge Twitter rant about how Will Smith could have killed Chris Rock and Judd Apatow wasn't cool for a while. So I stopped telling that story.
I forgot that he did that. Yeah, he's got to relax.
You want to revisit the whole Will Smith, Chris Rock thing? You got a take on that?
Nah. I respect it. He did it. Chris is all right.
Made a lot of money on that tour, I'm sure, from all those ticket sales.
Yeah, I'm sure he did well. And listen, where they come from, if a slap is the worst thing that's happened, it's okay.
Saw Lincoln Riley wearing a USC visor on a crosswalk one day. That was cool too. He had like just gotten the job. He had just gotten the USC job, and he was just sitting there. What you see him wearing on the sidelines, he was just wearing that like on the street. It was really weird.
So people could recognize him. He's like Nick Nurse. In case he forgets his name, he's got to have
a
hat and shirt to say Nick Nurse on him. That's the corniest thing ever. Let's wrap up. It made me mad.
What's your album?
So I got hip to this new kind of R&B group. I tweeted about them because I was mad that nobody told me about them, and then I tweeted about them and they retweeted it. Children of Zeus, song called Balance. Can I play the beginning of one song?
It seems a little copyrighty, but you're gonna do what you're gonna do. He's already doing it.
It's kind of hard.
I can't hear it.
Really?
Don't play it loud.
All right. Children of Zeus, Balance. My favorite song is I Know.
The Bunny Cardigan Show is back, ladies and gentlemen, from our 1 week hiatus like we never left. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate 5 stars. Leave a review. Subscribe if you're feeling generous. Somebody left a review that I actually meant to tackle on today's episode. We'll have to do that next week. If you're listening to this on Spotify, you can also leave 5 stars. We will catch you guys in the next one. But I think and I believe not in a word. Love should be a word that is what people say. But I think
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.